Well, ladies and gentlemen, I get the privilege of doing something I just love to do. We get to read the Word together, we get to fellowship together, and I think in the process learn some things. I want to say tonight that there is something we take for granted many times, and yet we use it many times every day for personal comfort and health. When we turn on the faucet to do dishes or to take a shower, we realistically expect something to come out, right? Water. Nice, warm, refreshing, soothing, comforting water. And so it's something we really can't take for granted because, boy, if the water ever gets shut off, and you've all experienced that, or the hot water heater, if something goes out, and you got to take a real cold shower, you get real thankful real quick for water heaters. But, you know, Jesus had some remarkable things to say about water, too. And so I thought we'd take a look, take your Bibles, and go to John chapter 4. Wonderful record here, and I think you'll recognize it real quick. John chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And if you want something interesting to do later, you can look at why the Jews disliked the Samaritans. And there's quite a history there. But verse 10, Jesus spoke to her, which culturally was kind of a strange thing to begin with, and that she was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She was a little confused here. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Water was a pretty precious commodity when you're living in these types of environments. I'm not sure they took it for granted. They had to walk quite a ways and then bring containers with them to haul water back to their living places. And Jesus said to her, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And logically, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I mean, it's kind of like her reward had arrived. She's like thinking, I don't have to make any more trips back to the well. Give me this water. I thirst not. Neither do I have to come anymore to draw the water. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast said well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, or God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah has come, which is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. In verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. In other words, you're looking at him. I'm him. They had a great expectation of the Messiah and that he was going to set everything right. Unfortunately, they thought, a lot of people thought he was going to come in the form of like a warrior and redeem the people from sort of the persecution that they were suffering from the Romans. But Jesus came in a different way. And so go over to John chapter 7, verse 37, please. But this concept of water, living water, and she didn't initially get the point, but as time went on, and I thought this was just so fascinating about how Jesus made this analogy between the physical water and the spiritual water that he was going to be able to provide by way of the Spirit. This is something future that hadn't happened quite yet. Because it says, when the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, what? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, by now you're in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now here's the key. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. And so what Jesus was revealing to these people and to this woman is that there was a day and time coming where they would receive the Spirit, and it wouldn't just be a drink of water. It'd be a wellspring of water that will continue to flow. And I thought about this today, that as we exercise and work the Spirit, then it's kind of like Al said last night, receive, retain, release. We're releasing that which we have been given, and those waters of life continue to flow. And that's why I titled this teaching tonight, Let It Flow. Let it flow. Because water is representative of the Spirit and the life that flows from it. It's a well that never runs dry. And it's that thing that refreshes us, it sustains us, and it nourishes us in so many ways. Guess what? All we have to do is turn on the faucet. We just have to make that free will choice to turn it on. And what comes out? Spiritual life. And it comes by way of praise and thanksgiving and perfect prayer, to name a few. You know, there's one thing that is always a right action and behavior for we believers, and that is praise. There are many things a man or woman can do in their life, but the true spiritual connection always produces a heart of praise. We may feel like doing something else, especially when there's troubled waters, but praise, and praise to God Almighty in the face of difficulty, will cause the enemy to flee. It's not what the enemy is expecting. He's expecting us to kowtow to the circumstances, the situations, expecting us to start declaring and confessing what the problems are. And boy, when we turn that into praise and we allow that spirit to flow out of us by way of praise and thanksgiving to the Father. You know, it talks about that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, rejoice evermore and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It says, in everything give thanks. And so, you know, in good times and not so good times, when we're feeling good and maybe we're not feeling so good, you know what? We can still turn on the faucet. And out of that faucet comes this living water, spiritual life. And it's identified by praise and thanksgiving and perfect prayer. So what am I talking about? I am talking about manifesting the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues. That's turning the faucet on. Yes, we have other manifestations of Holy Spirit, and we want to turn the faucet on and let it flow so they all come out. But boy, at the very foundation, I can certainly say that in exercising the Spirit, speaking in tongues is one of the greatest ways to allow that Spirit just to flow and to produce the benefit of a spiritual life. Because praise brings freedom. Praise brings deliverance. And praise brings release. So what do? We let it flow. We just let it flow. And, you know, maybe things get backed up. You know, sometimes the drains get backed up and you got to call in a specialist, right? And they come in and they call it snaking the drain lines. And sometimes I think we as believers get kind of plugged up too. And so we have to have an outlet. We have to have maybe just be reminded, hey, turn the faucet. It's right there within you. Jesus said that fountain of living water, it's going to come up and out of you. If you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. The water I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Boy, this is something that we really just have the privilege and the blessing and the benefit of having it our available. You talk about, well, they talk about natural resources. That's, let's say, water in the physical realm is a natural resource. Well, guess what? We have the greatest spiritual resource, right? Spiritual resource. Spirit. Spirit. It's that thing, that entity, that reality that the believers in the Old Testament really kind of saw but didn't have the fullness of. So, in closing, I just want to say, turn on the faucet, let it flow. What comes out? Spiritual life. And it comes out in the form of praise and thanksgiving and perfect prayer. We can just enjoy the benefit of being a child of God. And so there's always one right thing that's a right action and behavior for any of us. And that is spelled P-R-A-I-S-E. I remember, never forget, Joyce Myers said at one time, praise confuses the enemy. If we want to get out of where we're at, if we want to turn the situation around, not be so focused on the issues and the problems and the circumstances and the dynamics of all the things that are going on, you know what we do? We praise. We let it flow. We let it go. And we don't take it for granted. Amen? Turn the faucet on. Let her rip. Let the bathtub overflow. Because this is the greatest life we have to give, the greatest life we have to live. And why not? Enjoy it. You can start right now. Just turn on the faucet. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you that this Word of God is so dynamic, so living and real, that and still simple, and that we can enjoy the blessings and benefits, Father. We could overflow with your goodness and just show this world how an amazing God you are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.